your God, who you are always...
Okay, so, being a part of Korach discusses the story of Korach rebelling against Moshe. So we'll read a few psukim, we'll skip around, and then we'll get to the main pasuk that we're going to focus on, which is a little later in the parsha. Vayikach Korach, and Korach took, he was Korach ben Yitzhar ben Kos ben Levi, he was the son of Yitzhar, the son of Kos, the son of Levi, the Dasan of Aviram, Bnei Eliyav, as well as Dasan and Aviram, and Orm ben Peles, and the Pasuk doesn't say, who they took, what they took, it just concludes, and they took. Artskoshi translates it as he's separating himself. That's based on Rashi. Lokach and Atma with that Ephod. He pulled himself to one side to divide himself in order to rebel, to really complain against the kahuna, against the priesthood that that had been claimed by by claims are given to Aaron. So, as well as the Bnei Reuven were involved in this, the people of Dothan and Aviram. So Rashi really tells, you know, what Mara Korach Lacho Ki Moshe. Why was Korach fighting, arguing against Moshe? Niskane ala Nisiuso Shel Eli Tzafan Ben Uziel. He was jealous that Eli Tzafan was appointed as the Nasi, as the leader of Beit Levi, of Bnei Kahath specifically, who Korach was also a descendant of, and Korach felt that it was his right. And he wages this rebellion, and he gathers 250 men with him, the Rashi's and Rashi, Sanhedros, the heads of Sanhedrin, most of them from Shevet Reuven, which was neighbors with Korach, and Rashi mentions the woe, you know, oy l'rasha, oh, l'sheino, woe to a rasha, and woe to his neighbor, that they were drawn in by Korach because they were around him, and people are influenced by their neighbors. They gather against Moshe, and they say, so let's just read it, because we'll have to remember some of these tidbits. So Pasuk Gimel, verse 3, it says, Vayikaru al Moshe ve'al Aaron, and they gathered against Moshe and Aaron, Vayomer alehem, and they said to them, Rav lochem, you've taken too much for yourselves, Ki kol ha'eda kulam kadoshim, the whole congregation is holy, Uvesolcham Hashem, and Hashem is amongst all of us, why have you raised yourselves above the congregation of Hashem? So Moshe says, okay, so I'll offer you a challenge. And he says, tomorrow Hashem will show us who has the right to be the leadership. And in Pasuk Vav, verse 6, he says, Zosa, so this is what you have to do. Take these pans, these fire pans, Korach the Choladoso, Korach and all of his congregation, all those that gathered with him, and you'll put fire and ketoreth, and the one that Hashem chooses, the one that Hashem burns up, that's going to be the one who Hashem will show that he's chosen to be the leader. What happens? So he calls the people, and most of them come. In Pasuk Yud Beis, we see it says, "Vayishlach Moshe l'chol adasan b'lavirom b'nei Eliyav." Moshe called. This is verse 12. Moshe called. He sent four dasan and aviram. Vayomru lo na'ale. They said, "We're not coming." Going on a little bit.
Eating will give you strength. So therefore, the reference that it says is that if you have your pasamela.
What happens? So in Pasuk Yudches, verse 18, by Kluis Machtaso, each man takes his fire pan. By Yisimalehem Eish, by Yisimalehem Ketores, they put the fire, they put the Ketores, and they stood in front of the Olam Moed, in front of the Mishkan, with Moshe and Aaron. And Hashem says, I'm going to, in Pasuk Chaf, Pasuk verse, actually, Pasuk Aleph, verse 21. He bought the room, he told Chayidah Azos, Moshe and Aaron, separate yourself from them, Bachalel, some Kiroga, and I'm going to consume them. And Moshe Davin, please don't consume them. And, in the end, Pasuk Chaf Dalet, verse 24, Hashem says to Moshe, Dabel, Ha'idol, Lamor, speak to the congregation, saying, Hail Rumi, Shavivu, Mishkan, Korach, Dothan, and Aviram, remove yourselves from around the tents of Korach and Dothan and Aviram. And they did that, and they warned everyone, you know, leave them, that's in verse 26, everybody should leave them alone. And what happened? Basically, Moshe predicts that the ground will open itself up and swallow them, and that will prove that he's really the Kohen, or the leader. And indeed, in Pasuk Lamed Aleph, verse 31, and it was when he finished these words, and the ground opened up, it opened its mouth, and it swallowed them, and all the men that were with Korah, and all of his possessions. Fine. That's the quick version of the story. Now, what follows is a important command, and that's going to appear in Parak Yud Zayin, chapter 17, verse 5. So, it says there, actually in the previous verse, they took, basically what happened was they took all these fire pans that all the men had prepared, and they preserved them, and they put them around the Mizbeah. And why did they do that? So it says in verse 5, Pasuk Hey, Zikaron Livnei Yisrael, as a reminder for Bnei Yisrael, Leman Asher Lo Yikrav Yizar, that a Yizar, a non-Kohen, shouldn't come, Asher Lo Yizar Aaron, who is not from the descendants of Aaron, Lehakir Ketores Lishnei Hashem, to bring burnt Torah before Hashem, and this is the most important word that we're going to discuss, Vilgo Yiech Korach V'Chadoso, and he won't be like Korach and his Ada and his congregation, Kasher Dibei Hashem Biad Moshe, lo, as Hashem spoke to Moshe, say, which also needs interpretation. But simply those last words, as Moshe had, as Hashem had spoken to Moshe, was the conclusion of the command, that he should do that, as Moshe told him to take these machzos, these pans, and put them by the Mizbeach, as Moshe had said, and it's the conclusion of that. But what we want to focus on is that it says in this verse 5, it says that it should be a reminder, a zikaron, a reminder, Asher lo yikrav yisar, that no foreigner, no non-Kohen should come close, is not from the descendants of Aaron, to come to try to bring Ketores. Zelo yia Ketores v'chadoso, and he shouldn't be like Korach and his congregation. So, what is the pasuk trying to tell you? And he shouldn't be like Korach and his congregation. So Rashi here says that. See, Rashi doesn't elaborate so much. Rashi just says kedei shelo yekar, so he won't be like Korach. But we still don't really know what that means. So what are the options, I guess? What am I alluding to? What are the options of what this can mean? And you shouldn't be like Korach. So really, there's a few different possible ways to read this verse. You could read it that it's saying that they shouldn't do this so that what happened to Korach doesn't happen to them. So it should be a reminder that no non-Kohen should challenge and should try to be like a Kohen, in order to go, yeah, Korach doesn't say, so that he doesn't end up like Korach and his congregation, and that doesn't end up happening to them. That's one way to read it. Another way to read it is that it's saying that he shouldn't do this, but his punishment, he won't be like Korach and his congregation. Rather, something else. So he won't be like Korach and his congregation. Don't do this, because if you do, you're going to get punished, but it won't be like Korach and his congregation. It will be something else. It's another possible reading. And the third possible reading is that it's a command. The Lohia, he shall not be like Korach and his congregation. Don't challenge the Kuna, don't try to be like a Kohen. And he shall not be like Korach and his congregation. It's in fact a command. So those are the three possibilities that we're going to look at today, how to interpret this pasuk. So the starting point, I think, is the Gemara's interpretation. The Gemara says, Sanhedrin, it says, Vayaka Moshe Ve'elchel Dasan Ve'Aviram. And Moshe got up and he went to Dasan and Aviram. We skipped that verse, but that is in verse 25, Pasuk Chafei. It says that Moshe went, right, remember Dasan and Aviram, we did read, they were part of Korach's rebellion. They refused to come to Moshe. Moshe went to them, and he basically gave them the warning. So the Gemara says, Amar Reish Lakish, Mikan Sheng Machzikim B'Machokas. We learn from here that a person shouldn't be machzik, shouldn't hold on to a fight or a dispute, a machokas. A person should let go, be the one to give in. Don't strengthen it. Don't hold on to it. To Amar Rav, because Rav says, a person who does hold on to a machlokas, does continue it, maintain it, sustain it, is over a lav. He transgresses the negative commandments of the Torah. What's the negative commandment? Shenemar, as it says, he shall not be like Korach and his congregation. A negative commandment, the Gemara says, to be like Korach, to continue a fight. We see this, the Rashi, the Marsha explain that Moshe could have, you know, he didn't have to go to get them, personally, even, certainly not personally, even if he sent a messenger to send a message, you know, you guys are, they refused to come. He wasn't really starting the fight anyways, but even to, you know, to not try, to not attempt to resolve things in a way, perhaps, certainly on Moshe's level, could be seen as being mastic, holding on to, sustaining the dispute. He made the attempt to resolve matters by approaching them. You mean because in the next verse it says Vayidaber El Ha'edah, he spoke to the congregation. Okay, that could be. It could be that he was speaking to everyone around there, by including them, because it does say he went to them. So he definitely went to them. Maybe they refused to listen, or maybe they were part of. But he meant to go to them. So that's the first thing the Gemara says. So it seems that it's a straight up. It's a negative commandment to sustain a machlokas, a dispute like this. Then the Gemara has another idea about this. It says, Rav Ashi says, Roy Lihitzara, a person who's machzik b'machlokas, who sustains a machlokas, a dispute, he's befitting to get tzaraat, to get leprosy. Siv hacha biyad Moshe lo, because the verse concludes that Kasher Diber Hashem biyad Moshe, like Hashem had spoken in the hand of Moshe. And there's a reference to Moshe's hand.
The ground opening and swallowing in fire is a little different than the rest.
Right. So let's just finish the thought. So Uksiv Hasam, it says Vayomer Hashem lo, Haveina Yotcha B'Chekecha. Right when Moshe first speaks to Hashem at the burning bush, Hashem says, "Put your hand in your breast, and he pulls it out, and it has Torah." So, as Hashem had spoken of Moshe's hand, the pasuk says, it could be read, and that a person who maintains, sustains machlokas, person who is like, who does what, the, who or who challenges the kahuna, let's say. So in this reading, it would be, I believe, he won't get what Korach and his congregation got. He shall not be, he won't be like them. Rather, Kasher Diber Hashem Biad Moshe Lo. Rather, he'll get as Hashem had spoken about Moshe's hand. Meaning, rather, he'll get Torah. That is...
I'm not making an example now, but in the future, he's just getting Torah.
Exactly.
So...
Right. Now, the question would be, why? You know, why would it be different? So the Kli Yakar actually discusses, you know, where does this come from? Why Torah, firstly? And why not what Korach got? So... Not everyone can have the ground open up. That's
exactly.
Right.
Yeah, you know, it would make things just a lot better if the ground kept opening up and drawing people in fire.
There's more natural in a way than your hand turning into Torah, because the earth does have earthquakes all the time.
Yeah, I know, but look, imagine where would we be if the ground opened up? We'd all be in the ground.
Only if you challenge the leadership.
You put your cream on, you're okay, you know? You just want to do it again.
Only if you challenge the leadership. So the Kli Yakar asked this question, why would it be that he would get Sarat? What does it have to do with, Lay asked the question, he has an interesting term, he says, the Kan HaBen Shoel, and here the son asks, which is what the Mishnah says about the Seder, like, and here that's how the Mishnah describes, I think, the Manishtana. The Kan HaBen Shoel, and here the son asks. So I guess he's just saying, like, it's an obvious question. What does Moshe getting to wrath when he pulls out his hand have anything to do with a person who's machzik v'machokas, who sustains the dispute, who does what Korach did? Why would the Torah say he'll get as Hashem spoke about Moshe's hand? It just seems totally disconnected. What does this have to do with when Moshe stuck his hand into his, when Moshe, Hashem was talking to Moshe, and he stuck his hand in and he pulled it out, and it was Sarah.
Moses didn't have faith in God, right? God told him to do something, and he goes, I don't really, I'm not your guy. Yeah, so he's showing you, it was like a personal sign, because that was the sign that he never used, right? So this is
I think it was personal.
Yeah, that was a personal side to Moses, like, you didn't believe me?
Okay, so you're close to what he says, but he says a little bit differently. So he says, by the way, he makes a very interesting point. He says, why didn't the pasuk say, if it wants to say that you get Sarah, and it wants to refer to a person who got Sarah, so just go back to the parsha from 2 weeks ago, and Miriam gets Sarah. What does she get Sarah for? Yeah, for saying, like, who knows, you know, like, he's not, like, why does he think he, you know, he could leave his wife, and, like, and really a very similar thing, you know, obviously not as, you know, outright, you know, we can't, Chas v'Shalom, let's compare Miriam to Korach, but there are similarities between what, you know, she said, Harak ach b'Moshe diber Hashem alo gam banu diber. Does Hashem only speak to Moshe? He also speaks to us, right? She was kind of saying, like, we're in a way like Moshe. That's what the people were saying here. They were saying we're all holy. So he makes a very good point. Like, why not compare it to the Saras that Miriam got? So the Kli Yakar says, I'll bring them, he says, I'm going to be Makarev being young. I'm going to bring them together. I'm going to bring everything together. He says, the Gemara says in Shabbos, Hachoshed v'ksheirim loke v'gufo. A person who is choshed v'ksheirim, who suspects, who doubts people who are kosher, who are upstanding, he gets Tzorah. And how does it know? Minalan, from where do we know that? From Moshe. Because Moshe said at the burning bush, how am I going to do this? Hein lo yaminu li. They're not going to believe me. So the Gemara says, that if you doubt and his punishment, the Gemara is telling you, was to get Saras on his hand. That was a punishment for doubting the people. Not for doubting God, but for doubting the people. Now, Kli Yakar says, the way that things work in general is with Mida Kenegi Mida, measure for measure. That a person gets punished based on the what they, in a way, tried to do to the other person. Measure for measure. So he says, if we apply that rule here and we assume that Moshe as punishment to Paras for claiming that they wouldn't believe him was Mida Kenyang Mida, was measure for measure, was Paras, so it would follow that if they had indeed, if what he was suspected them was true, if what he suspected them of was in fact true, that they really weren't on that level, would not believe him, so it seems it would follow that their punishment would have been Sarah for not believing Moshe, since he was Choshed B'Ksherim, though, that he was wrong, he was doubting people who were upstanding. So he got what they would have gotten if what he thought was true. They would have gotten Taras instead, he got Taras. So if we assume that, so then, that, he says, that's mamish, what Korach, that's exactly what Korach was saying. Korach was this this person who who doubted Moshe, who didn't believe in Moshe. It was Korach who was claiming, Moshe, you're making everything up, it's not true, you don't know what you're saying, and Korach and his people, that were the ones who doubted Moshe. So we see that someone who is like Korach, someone who doubts Moshe, the punishment is Sarah. And probably in his position.
So he was breaking right after.
And now he's breaking another one, because now he added, he said, don't be like Korach.
Right, he's like himself, okay, oh no.
Now we have to still explain why then Korach didn't get this punishment. And so he says, kind of along the lines, he doesn't give your example, but he says what Korach did was much worse than just doubting Moshe. He says he was kofer be'ikr, he denied, denied God's existence. He denied the legitimacy of the Torah. There's many different midrashim of exactly what he. He's referring to one of those midrashim, I guess. And he wanted to overthrow Moshe. He didn't just doubt him, so that's why he had a much worse punishment. But the punishment for doubting a leader like Moshe would be Taras. Taras is often, he quotes the Gemara here, that Taras comes as a result of arrogance and Lashon Hara. We know Lashon Hara, that famous idea that you get Taras for speaking Lashon Hara, but also, that Korach was definitely guilty of here, but also of arrogance. A person gets Taras. So that's a little bit in terms of the Taras. Fine. So now just to come back to this question of, is this a mitzvah or not? Right? The Gemara definitely seems to say that it was. It's a negative commandment. Anybody who sustains a machlokes, a dispute, transgresses the negative commandment of lo yechorech v'chadasa. Don't he shall not be like Korach. The Gemara says, over Balak, he transgresses a negative commandment, and indeed there are numerous mitzvah counters who consider it a mitzvah. Mak, the sefer mitzvah katan. Counts it. He says, "Shulah arach rakuna." There's a negative commandment not to make claims against the priesthood. And he says, "Don't be like Korach." And he says, "Bechlau avzeh." Included in this is not to be a baal machlokes, not to be a person who picks fights. That would be included in this commandment.
So the Rambam,
The Urayim, he says, he also says this, don't make claims, that this negative command is not to make claims against the priesthood, and he says included in this also is not to protest, not to make claims against someone who's been given a position of honor. He says the mitzvah hayotzer, the commandment of God. So I don't know if that's specific to someone who's anointed by God. That's what it seems, that would be the commandment, not to protest the position of someone who was indeed anointed by God. The Rambam does count this as a mitzvah. The Rambam actually, this ends up being part of a major discussion in how you count mitzvahs in the Rambam, and the Ramban questions the Rambam, and the Rambam uses this as an example of what he calls a shlila, which is basically the way the Rambam sets it up. He's visiting in his introduction to his book of mitzvot, where he's laying down all the rules, the shorashim, for how do you know what counts as a mitzvah or not? And he points out that in the Hebrew language, it could get confusing sometimes, because the word lo, which means not or don't, could mean very different things. It could mean don't, lo yet, as I said before, don't be like Korah. It could also mean like, lo yet, he won't be like Korah. So that's always, so it's hard to know, is this a commandment or not? And the Rambam says that here it's not. He says that he seems to focus in on the Gemara had two interpretations of this. One was that it was a commandment, don't be like Korah. And the other was that if somebody protests the kahuna, he won't be like Korah, rather he'll get Sarah. Right? He won't be like Korah, rather he'll get Sarah. And that's what the Rambam runs with, basically. And he uses this as one of his examples of a shlila, where you have the word lo, not or don't or won't, and it's not a negative commandment. And it just means that this won't happen. He won't be like Korah. You're a Rambam guy.
It's very nicely,
there is another very similar mitzvah, which the Rambam does discuss. It's a mitzvah. The mitzvah is lo tisgo didu. What's the mitzvah of lo tisgo didu? So, as the Rambam says, that's a law against making a scratch in one's skin, like the idol worshippers do. I believe this is done upon someone's death. It's a sign of mourning, and you... So this isn't that's a different prohibition, I think. But this is... I think it's a form of mourning to, like... Make yourself bleed, make scratches in your skin. It's a negative commandment of the Torah. However, the Gemara in Yevamos understands that lo tisgodedu also implies another negative commandment, which is lo sa'asu agudos agudos. An aguda is a congregation. Lo tisgodedu, don't make agudos agudos. Different congregations, I mean, you can't open up two shuls, but in certain instances, you can't, don't make fights within the community. The specific thing that the Rambam mentions is to have different basins in a city that have different customs. And he says this is like drush. It's more of like a drusha. It's a interpretation. It's not the simple understanding of Pasuk. And then he mentions that we have a similar thing in Sanhedrin. It says Hamach is a machlokas over the lab. A person who holds up the things of machlokas transgresses negative commandments. And he, because it says, below, yes, also, and one shall not be like Korah and his congregation. And he said, who Gam King Asad had drush, that's also just drush. So, you know, he acknowledges the this drush, this inference, but he understands that it's not the shy, it's not a simple understanding of the pasuk. The simple understanding is, as he renders it, that the other pshat in the Gemara, that it means one should not, he won't get what Korach gets, rather he'll get Torah. That's how he understands the simple pshat. And also it teaches you, as a drasha, you learn out also and don't sustain machlokes. The Rambam is very bothered at how the Rambam could learn that's a simple understanding of the verse. That he can understand the simple understanding to mean that you don't get Torah. The Ramban says that's not either the Pashat Shah. That's not either the simple reading of the Pashat. I think the Ramban agrees that the simple reading is, he's not saying the simple reading is that it's a negative commandment, it's a lab, but he agrees with the Rambam on that, but he also says, but what the Rambam says is the simple reading is that, and he shall not be punished the way that Korach was, rather he'll get Torah, because that's also not the simple reading. And he says that he says the pshat, the simple understanding of the pasuk is that this will be, as the verse reads, Zikaron Livnei Yisrael, it will be a reminder to Bnei Yisrael, Leman Asher Lo Yikra Bishzar, in order that, two things, Leman, in order for two things, one is, Asher Lo Yikra Bishzar, Asher Lo Mizar Aaron, that a non-Kohen won't come close and bring to Torah, and it's also going back on what it's a reminder of, what these hands around the Mizrach are to serve as a reminder of, and the also, and that he shouldn't be like Korach and his congregation. It's also a reminder of that a person shouldn't start fights like that. And the part about Torah, that's just medrash. That's just also not the simple reading of the pasuk. But again, I think the Ramban is agreeing that it's not. He's also assuming that it's not a lav. It's in what we call a smachta. It's like a hint to this idea, not to make fights. But really, the reading of the pasuk is not a command. The simple reading of the pasuk is that you should put the pants as a reminder not to protest the kahuna and not to be like Korah, but also it's still like a shlila, it's still not a command, don't do what Korah did. This is a reminder not to be like Korah.
That's the way people not a commandment.
It's machloket. There are some that say that it is a commandment. I mean, either way, and really when we say, is it a commandment or not, our question is really, is it one of the 613 mitzvahs? Can you count it? But ultimately, it's still, you know, it's a drasha, it's learned out from there, and it's still a commandment on some level. So don't go picking fights. Just one more thing I want to discuss, which is the Mishnah in the fifth parak of Pirkei Avos. The Mishnah says,
and he bathes himself on that which it says.
Kol machlokas shehi l'shem shamayim, sofa l'shkayim. This is chapter 5, Mishnah Yedai, Mishnah 17, in some versions I think it's Mishnah Chas 20. It says, Kol machlokas shehi l'shem shamayim, any dispute that is l'shem shamayim is for the sake of heaven, sofa l'shkayim. It will endure. If it's for the sake of heaven, it will in the end endure. The she'ena l'shem shamayim, and if it's not for the sake of heaven, ain't sofa l'shkayim, it will not endure. Ezohi machlokas shehi l'shem shamayim. Then the Mishnah asks, so what is an example of a machlokas that's for the sake of heaven? Zu machlokas Hillel v'Shammai, the dispute between Hillel and Shammai, the many disputes, those are for the sake of heaven. The she'ena l'shem shamayim, and what's the dispute that's not l'shem shamayim? Zu Korach v'chol Hadasa. This is the dispute of Korach and his congregation. That's held up by the Mishnah as the prime example of a machlokas, a dispute that's not l'shem shamayim, that's not for the sake of heaven. Now we have to understand what this Mishnah is saying. First of all, what does it even mean? What does it mean it's going to endure? I mean, I would think that a machlokas, a dispute that endures, is not a good thing. You want your machlokas, your dispute to end, right? Not to endure. It says if it's l'shem shamayim, it will endure. If it's not l'shem shamayim, it won't endure. It's not for the sake of heaven, it won't endure. That's great. It's a good thing, and that's exactly what we want to happen to dispute. So Rabbi Yonah on Pirkei Avos says a very simple approach. He says that when it talks about the machlokas that's l'shem shamayim for the sake of heaven, the machlokas of Hillel and Shammai, so that's talking about a machlokas in learning, in Torah learning. So, and you have one machlokas today, and you'll have another machlokas tomorrow, and another one, and it's all the same shemayim, it's all for the sake of heaven, and it will endure, and that you'll continue to be able to have machlokas with your chavrusa every day, because you'll have arichos yom, you'll have long life, and you'll keep learning, and you'll keep arguing, and that's the perfect world. On the other hand, Korach, machlokas is not the same shemayim, it's not for the sake of heaven, so those people will meet their end like Korach did. And there won't be any, it won't endure because they won't endure. Exactly. The Ksav, yes. Right. Now again, the Medrash.
You're wrong. It wasn't even a machlokas.
Right. The pasuk doesn't record specific things that he said. The Midrashim have arguments that he made. You know, he asked him about, and there's many interpretations of what he was saying. That a talis that is completely made of tchelas, you need to put a tchelas string on, and because tzitzis ideally is supposed to have one string made of the purple tchelas, the turquoise, whatever color it is. So and Korach came and said he had a few of these examples, but you know, is a talis that's completely made of tchelas. Does it need tzitzis? Does it need tchelas? Sorry. And Moshe said yes, it does. And Korach said that's ridiculous. And many interpretations of what, you know, how he was challenging Moshe with this. A similar thing: a house that's full of Sifrei Torah, does it need a mezuzah? Moshe said yes. Korach said that's ridiculous. You know, but he was making philosophical arguments in these things. So he was coming with various philosophical arguments, but
in saying that's ridiculous, I'm not listening to it. That's not very.
It's the same concept.
That's not the way our tradition goes. You know, it's not like you bring something just to say that you're wrong.
The
question of each other, and it's not, you know, they never say this one's wrong.
Okay, so maybe you might be hitting on one of the Ksav Sofer's shots and one of his interpretations here. So the Ksav Sofer suggests that the that the word sofa lehiskayim, it will endure or won't endure, is defining whether, is actually defining the actual, it's not the result. It's defining what the person's intentions are in the begin. And that when the Mishnah says that a machlokas that's for saying samayim, sofa lehiskayim, a machlokas that's for the sake of having, it's one that in the end the words will be upheld. Meaning, if you believe that you know the truth and that you want to, you know, help the other side see the truth, you know, Shammai held something, but Hillel said, you know, this is Torah, and this is, I want, and I believe that the emes, that the truth is this way. So, and he believed that he had the truth, and that he there was a chance of convincing Shammai. And I'm sure many times, you know, we have many disputes, but I'm sure many times that one side said something, the other side actually agreed to him, right? They don't record that, but on many occasions, I'm sure they happen. So if it's sofa lehiskayim, if you believe that your words will be upheld. So then, that's the same to mind. Then you're arguing for the sake of having. But if you, a machlokes that's not the same to mind, it's not for the sake of having, is one that's ain't so fully kind, that's not going to be upheld. You know the other side's not going to listen. You don't really have a value. You know that you don't represent the truth. And you still are trying to pick a fight just for the sake of fighting or for arguing. And you're jealous or whatever it is. But he says that. That might be what the Mishnah means, that machlokes is not l'shem shemayim. Is sofa ain't sofa l'shem. A machlokes is not for the sake of having. It's not going to endure, meaning it's when you don't expect your words to endure, that means it's not l'shem shemayim. Because you know the other side's not going to listen. So there's no point of fighting over something if you're not going to get anywhere, and especially if you know that your side isn't true in the first place. So Korach is an example of that. It was Shelo Hashem Shemayim. It wasn't for the sake of having. And it wasn't so for this guy. And it wasn't going to endure. Because he didn't expect that Moshe would listen. He didn't expect that the whole congregation would listen. After all, Moshe had done so much for them. You know, he was able to convince a small percentage of the people to follow him, his neighbors, basically. But beyond that, they weren't convinced. That is one approach that Ksav Sofer. The other approach is actually a theme that runs through many of the Mefarshim here, which is that Korach and his followers were not all on the same page. And ain't sofa lehiskayim, it's not going to endure, means that if you're not the same Shemayim, then you're not going to be able to stick together if you're, you know, waging a protest. Because you're all really, you're like, if you're the same time, if you're for the sake of having, and you're making a protest, so then your side will stick together because you all represent the same ideals. But if you are not the same time, you're not for the sake of having, so then everybody is for themselves, really. Everybody's for their own reasons, and that's not going to hold together. And he says that that we see that at first Korach was, you know, and I sort of like skirted this issue. What, you know, was he shaming against Moshe? Was he against Aaron? It's not so clear, like, who he was arguing on. And the Ksav Sofer says that Korach was coming out against Moshe. You know, he wanted to be a leader like him. The followers of Korach, they said, Rav Lachem b'nei Levi, they said, we don't need any leader. Kulam kedoshim, everybody is holy, we don't need anyone. And he says, if Korach had not, you know, shown a personal, if he hadn't been chasing the leadership himself, then actually he may have been able to gather more followers. But because he was in it for himself, so they weren't together. They weren't on the same side. The people wanted to be without any leader, and he didn't want that. He wanted to have a leader. He wanted to be the leader. And that's why they ended up, it wasn't going to be this guy, and because they weren't the same Shemayim, so they weren't going to be able to hold it together. Now, it's interesting when you put this together with an idea in the Nativ speaks about. It's related, although he puts a tiny spin, because he suggests that no, really, the people, the rest of the people of Korach were somewhat L'shem Shamayim. Because, really, they wanted to serve, right? They wanted to bring the Ketoret, and they were wrong, right? They weren't meant to bring the Ketoret, but they were at least, you could say, they were L'shem Shamayim. They were acting for the sake of heaven. But the Netziv says that Korach was wrong, obviously, for speaking, you know, he wasn't acting for the sake of heaven. And even the people who followed him, who maybe were looking for more holiness and were looking to get closer to God, but they were bringing Ketoret was not the way to do it. That wasn't their role. They had to, you know, they had to know what their role was, and that wasn't it. So he learned, going back to our pasuk, he asked, why doesn't it say, don't be like Korach and his followers? Why does it say, don't be like Korach and like his followers? Right? Again, it could have said, don't be like Korach and his followers. Instead, it says, don't be like Korach and like his followers. It says it's describing two different things. Don't be like Korach, who, he was totally wrong, right? There was nothing positive about that. But also don't be like his followers, where even if it's L'shem Shamayim, L'shem Mitzvah, you're doing it for the sake of heaven, they wanted to be closer to God, but at the end of the day, what they were doing was not the right thing to do. So there was certainly, you know, the theme, the Masech Chochma also discusses this theme, that there was, they each had different intentions, and Dussing and Aviram, they didn't even try to bring the Ketoret because they weren't interested in that either. So if you read the Pesukim closely and read the Mefarshim, there seem to be many different parts. Even within Korach's side, many different goals and intentions, and that the Ksav Sofer says, if when everybody's not L'shem Shamayim, when everybody's sort of acting for themselves, that's not going to hold together, and that Ein Sofa L'Skayim, that's not going to be a lasting machlokas, because your side will fall apart.